One of the few portraits from a woman's perspective of everyday life in pre-World War II Germany is a 1932 novel called The Artificial Silk Girl by Irmgard Korn. It's just been republished, and book critic Maureen Corrigan says it's sexually frank, funny, and graphic in its depiction of a society on the skids.
In the publishing world, late summer is limbo, the wide Sargasso Sea of seasons. Nothing stirs, all is anticipation. The only faint noise is the heralding wind of the big fall marvels to come. But because August is such a flat month, it's also the time when small press books that often slip under the critical radar get noticed. Such is the case with The Artificial Silk Girl by Irmgard Korn, a vibrant 1932 novel that's been newly translated from the German by Kathy von Ankom. The Artificial Silk Girl was a sensational bestseller in Germany when it was first published, and no wonder. The novel reads like Bridget Jones's diary, as rewritten by Bertolt Brecht. By 1933, it had been translated and published in England, and banned and burned by the Nazis, who called it an example of asphalt literature with anti-German tendencies. Korn fled to Belgium and then the Netherlands. When the Nazis occupied those countries, she returned to Germany, where she lived out the war in hiding and continued writing. She died in 1982. The Artificial Silk Girl was a casualty of war until the 1970s, when it was rediscovered by German feminists. The heroine and narrator of The Artificial Silk Girl is named Doris. She's a young woman from the provinces who's besotted by the movies, convinced she has what it takes to become the next Marlene Dietrich. Meanwhile, she works as an office clerk to help support her family. Doris has a strong voice. She's something of a nitwit, but spunky in her stupidity, so you find yourself rooting for her. Doris introduces herself and her chronicle by saying, "I think it will be a good thing if I write everything down, because I am an unusual person. I don't mean a diary. That's ridiculous for a trendy girl like me. But I want to write like a movie, because my life is like that, and it's going to become even more so." Its cinematic style is one of the most striking features of The Artificial Silk Girl. After Doris steals a fur coat and runs away to Berlin to make it as an actress, she generates nonstop verbal snapshots of street life in that city. The corners crowded with prostitutes and World War I veterans selling shoelaces, 10 blonde windbreakers, as Doris calls them, raiding and beating up patrons in a Jewish cabaret, the subway that she refers to as an illuminated coffin on skis, a new fast food joint that sports the American name of Quick, and the bars she visits nightly, filled with scenes like this. Girls were sitting on their bar stools like plucked chickens on a ledge, looking as if they would have to go to a spa first before they would ever be able to lay another egg. And in front of them, guys, like sensual rabbits, sitting up on their hind legs, groveling. Doris herself is a sexually liberated young woman. She's comfortable, even flip, about her desires, and tells us up front that it's never easy for me to say no. Demonstrating the ingenuity of Sex in the City's Samantha, Doris attaches rusty safety pins to her bra and undershirt before one evening out, so that if she winds up drinking too much cognac with the wrong man, in a clinch, she'll be jabbed to her senses. Yet the novel shrewdly dramatizes the catch-22 of a working-class first-generation feminist who can't quite claim her own destiny because she'll never earn enough at the clerical or cleaning jobs she's offered to make it without a man. Here's Doris's cold-eyed assessment of her situation. If a young woman from money marries an old man because of money and nothing else, and makes love to him for hours, and has this pious look on her face, she's called a German mother and decent woman. If a young woman without money sleeps with a man with no money because he has smooth skin and she likes him, she's a whore. For all her cynicism, Doris can't quite give up her Hollywood dreams to snuggle down with one of the sugar daddy industrialists she's always toying with. The artificial Silk Girl ends with Doris, homeless but still hopeful, wandering the streets of Berlin. She says, "I have buoys of cork in my stomach. They won't let me go down, will they?" It's a poignant question, made all the more so by a contemporary reader's knowledge of the ghastly political realities approaching just beyond the boundary of this last chapter.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Artificial Silk Girl by Irmgard Koyne, spelled K-E-U-N. It's published by The Other Press.